Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Disinformation. Whether it is for a strict purpose or not, whether it is on purpose or not, is irrelevant. We live in an age where clicks matter more than truth, and your attention matters more than fact. The framing of issues and the framing of situations creates an implicit truth. Shiny headlines that, while factual in some ways, are aimed and bent and discard objective truth in favor of a particular narrative or framing. Now, before we begin, I am not accusing anyone of doing anything wrong, anything improper, or anything immoral. While I don't agree with some of the ways that things are framed and headlines are written, and the way that people consume media and gain information, I'm not here to make a moral judgment. I am here to really break it down and state the facts of what's going on. So, in the modern age, the 2020s, the 21st century, the way we consume and get information has changed. There is a marked decrease in people believing in science or twisting science or changing and bringing up narratives and evidence to suit their needs. Things like confirmation bias or the quote, "I did my research," are used to deflect blame away from the actual issue and to act as a way of superiority. Where once the word of God or religious intention was the ultimate arbiter of truth, we have deified science and fact and truth itself to become really the arbiter of said truth. To say you did your research, that word, research, say that you read it, an article about it, that you heard about it on a podcast or on a news broadcast or something, has come to be a blanket to throw over ourselves to protect ourselves from scrutiny. To minimize dissent or minimize criticism or debate. And really, it has begun to erode what once was a real strong push towards an objective, well-informed truth. Now, what do I mean? Really, what I mean, in a lot of ways, is not reading past the headline. If you remember my previous episode on the hashtag Cancel Canada Day movement, how one instance, one argument was twisted and changed because people didn't read past the headline, and that drove outrage, and that outrage became the story, then people got away from what the actual story and the facts were. That's why I made this show in the first place, was to peel back the layers and get to the actual source of that truth and bring it to you. Peel back the rhetoric and layers of reporting on reporting and get to the heart of the issue. That is the problem, is reporting on reporting. It's something when I was working in the newspaper industry that was really one of the things that we challenged and would not allow. If an article that was being sourced did not source the actual source itself, it was not useful. We did not draw on reporting, not to get things second or third hand. Go straight to the source, and if you could not get straight to the source, get to the first person that reported on that source, and you are likely to get the truth, or what they see to be the truth. That's why we wouldn't, you know, take an article that was sourcing an article that was sourcing an article on something. You go all the way down. It's like when you don't cite Wikipedia in your essay. You go down to the little sources tab on the bottom and you find the right number and you go to that original source and you source that. A lot of academic work is you have an article and you look at the sources that that article sourced, and then you get down this rabbit hole of sources until you get to a place where you said, oh, okay, this was the first person or this was the first article that did this and established this argument. And you source that, and you work backwards from that. In the modern age, it is much easier to have a gotcha moment on Twitter or in a conversation by just pulling out a quick article, not really checking for veracity, just to have some information. And to when you have a question or you're trying to figure something out, to search up an article and pick up the first thing that comes up. With something like the COVID-19 pandemic, we are layers and layers and layers deep on knowledge that needs to be relayed to get a whole picture. And people are relying on that newest piece to cover all their bases. So how do we make these kind of informed decisions, and how do we stay literate? Well, first off, you need to read past the headline, because the headline does not tell you the whole story. I've pulled three select headlines to read out to you right now. And while you're listening to this, I'm going to read the headline, and you need to think to yourself, what is the story about? Because these are proper headlines. These are objective facts about the story that it's being told, but see if you can figure out what they're not saying. Here's the first one. Former Winnipeg doctor loses license over unethical billings, inadequate record keeping, unethical being in quotes. The second, two Indigenous men on Manitoba PC appointed boards quit over minister's comments. Third, federal funds to turn derelict buildings into homes. The first two from the CBC, and the third from the Winnipeg Free Press. Did you notice something? Sure, it got the point across about what the article is about, but you're missing some very important details. Specifically, there's no moral statement of whether these things are good or bad. That first one, doctor losing a license over, in quotes, because that is quoted from somebody in the article, unethical billings, inadequate record keeping. You don't know morally where you would stand on this. What is this? Is this doctor? Were they circumventing some kind of rule to ensure that people who needed medication or needed care were able to get care? And it's just bureaucracy and the system slamming down a good person who was doing a good thing? Or was it that this person was just lazy and was billing people to make a quick buck and having inadequate record keeping because they were just simply lazy at their job? I know the answer because I read the article, but that starts to add questions and doubt in your mind. Two Indigenous men on Manitoba PC-appointed board quit over minister's comments. It doesn't tell you which minister. It doesn't tell you what the comments were. And it doesn't tell you why exactly those comments caused these two Indigenous men to quit their positions. We in Manitoba have the benefit of context because the comments of Alan Lajimodier went viral a few days ago. So we have that context to know these are the comments. These are probably the minister they're talking about. But from an outside perspective, say, you know, 5 years from now, are people going to remember what this context was? And how could that title, this headline, be used and weaponized? Maybe the minister was the minister of agriculture or the minister of sport, not the Indigenous minister, Dr. Alan Lajimodier. And maybe the two Indigenous men who quit because they just didn't agree with the politics of this strange minister and the comment that they made about a political change. It doesn't tell you the actual facts. It gets it across. It doesn't make any inaccurate statement, but you lose the context of the story, the word ministers, the word comments. They are blanket terms that, under the context of being in Manitoba and paying attention to the news the past few days, you would understand what they're talking about, but in isolation, they don't tell you what that actually means. How would I change that title? I would say, two Indigenous men on Manitoba PC-appointed boards quit over Minister Lajimodier's comments on residential schools. Putting in the name, Minister Lajimodier, comments on residential schools, a few words that make the headline very long and wordy, but it gets the facts a little bit clearer, the context a little bit clearer. These Indigenous men are quitting because of comments made by a Minister Lajimodier on residential schools. And you could start to piece the context together a little bit more than just saying over minister's comments. You see where I'm getting at here? Not reading past the headline or even reading the subhead or the lead leaves a lot of information on the table. We have articles coming up from things like Maclean's and the New York Times, the very famous, this millennial bought a house. Do you want to bought a $500,000 house? You want to know how they did it? If you just read the headline, you said, oh, a millennial bought a, or a Gen Z person bought a $500,000 home. All those people complaining about how they can't buy homes. Well, look at this person. They did it. But when you actually read the article, you find out that their parents paid the down payment and they, you know, had a paid internship that helped them get a job at a very nice, cushy law firm where their dad knows one of the head lawyers, and all of this context that makes the story a little bit less of a, this person worked hard, persevered, and triumphed over circumstance and a system that made it impossible for them to live out that part of the American dream, to this really privileged person had this handed to them. And they were able to, because of virtue of their birth and their family, able to continue on this generational wealth. Context ultimately matters when you are relaying stories and telling information. So when people do not read past the headline, and one of the good things that Twitter has now done is that before you retweet something, it flags if you have actually read that article or not, and asks you if you want to post that send that retweet without having read the article or make that quote tweet. It's actually a nice feature because it gives that sober second thought to say, okay, maybe I should read that. But where it falls short is the second part. And this extends out to really a lot of decision making and the idea of staying informed. And that is, all facts do not exist in a vacuum. All facts and truth and findings and arguments are part of a broader system. I mentioned a bit ago talking about sourcing for articles and how when you source an argument in an academic paper, you don't just source the person who sourced the person. Saying as cited in is kind of pointless. You follow that breadcrumb trail until its beginning. You find the original source, the idea in history, the discipline of history, to use primary sources, to actually go to the words and the objects and the artifacts of that moment in history and the people who were there and ask them, or if you can't directly ask them, look at the things that they wrote and put those in context. With the 24-hour news cycle and social media and really this ever-evolving situation, it's difficult to get to that source, and you find yourself sourcing or reporting on reports. And that has detrimental consequences because things change. The COVID-19 pandemic is the perfect example of this, where our understanding of COVID changed rapidly in the first few months of the pandemic and continued to change. And we have gotten to a point where we have a relatively complete understanding of COVID-19, how it spreads, how it functions, and there are still people out there that are repeating behaviors and beliefs that occurred in the original days of the pandemic. I'm kind of paraphrasing because I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a virologist, but we know that COVID spreads through respiratory droplets. So if you prevent respiratory droplets, the chances of getting COVID drops almost to zero. That's why we wear masks. That's why we social distance. We social distance because when you breathe or talk, the respiratory droplets come out. And because COVID can only exist in respiratory droplets, and those droplets are water, and water is subject to gravity, when you breathe and talk, those droplets come out, get grabbed by gravity, and pulled down to the ground. That's why we have masks to stop the droplets from going out. That's why we social distance to, if those droplets do get out, they fall down to the ground. And we have results from mask mandates to show that, yes, that actually does work. And another part of the COVID thing that was thought of at the beginning was you need to wipe down everything you buy because it might have COVID on it, or you leave a box outside because you need to wait for the COVID to die on it before you bring it inside. We found in the pandemic that, you know, because COVID evolved to exist in lung tissue and in the respiratory droplets that hang inside your lungs, outside that system, it doesn't work. It doesn't live long. It lives milliseconds. Once that respiratory droplet bubble pops, the COVID lands on whatever surface, it realizes this is not something that can provide me nutrients, and then it dies because it's a microscopic virus that doesn't have the benefit of you know, having food to eat and water to drink and things that it can sustain itself with outside of human tissue. So we found that COVID doesn't spread on surfaces, and yet people still wipe things down like the Dickens. It's good to wash your hands because you are human tissue, so COVID can last on your hands, and you, one of the first places you touch is your eye or your mouth or your nose, and that brings it straight into back into that system that it lives in. But on that box from Amazon, after a minute or so, it's fine. Just touch it. It's good. And that comes down to, and that lack of understanding comes down to a lack of understanding on how science functions. And science is like building a house. People think that, you know, you do something in science and that's just an immutable fact that is universal. Whereas what the reality is that each fact or each argument, each piece of research is just a piece of a puzzle, an overall look at a particular issue. In this, we can think of science as like building a house. Each discipline and each specialty within those disciplines has a wall to build. And all those walls contribute overall to finishing that house. The problem is, each time a researcher figures something out and places a brick in their wall, they learn how many more gaps there are and how big that wall actually might be. It's almost infinite. The walls and house itself may never be finished before the eventual heat death of the universe, because the universe itself is complicated. There are always extraneous variables. There are always things that we need to tweak. Every discovery shows us more things to potentially discover. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. And it is very easy for people who are not within the scientific community or not within kind of that world to look at science as a mutable, immovable fact, and to weaponize that and to wield it like a club, that it can never be changed and your mind can never be changed because science can never be changed. It changes quite rapidly because we are constantly learning and iterating and growing our understanding of things. And what you need to know when looking for this information is that you're only getting a singular piece. There's always more to know. So getting one source, having one argument, falls flat on its face because no argument is ever really unmovable. It's never constant. We have very few constants in our universe. Really, the speed of light is the one constant we have in all of human existence. Because everything else is subject to variables, subject to difference, subject to context. So when looking for an argument and looking for information, be ready to be looking for a lot more and adding context to what you're finding and growing what you're finding. Because the numbers and the arguments and the facts that are shown are only part of the story. So far, we've covered look past the headline, because words can be deceiving, and also you need to look deeper than a single source for truth. And the final piece we need to look at is to not fall victim to confirmation bias. And what I mean by that is confirmation bias is the inherent tendency to look for facts and arguments and evidence that confirms what we already believe. You want to rationalize the beliefs you have and the way you view the world and the subjective reality you experience. So there is an inherent tendency to look for facts and arguments and evidence that supports that and shy away from ones that don't, because that disturbs your sense of reality. So, you know, if you're trying to prove that the Earth is flat, don't just Google flat Earth confirmed or flat Earth evidence confirmed. You have to look at the other side. You have to look at the arguments against that and assess those facts as well, because it tells you how good or bad your argument is, or how truthful your argument is. I've told my sister many times, it is healthy, it is good, and it is actually better to include arguments that are counter to your own in academic work or in, you know, any type of information gathering. Because it pushes you to try and verify if they are right over you. To show that maybe we don't have the whole picture, so it's important that we continue to look. We need to continue to evolve and drive science forward in order to collect more facts to support or even, especially even, invalidate. Because while truthful information and good information, while confirmation is good, living with bad information is worse. To have an answer is good, but if that answer is not good, then you are not getting a good result from it. In my work, we talk about insights and drawing insights. You draw, you know, insights drive good work and good decision making. Insights do that, but bad insights drive bad decision making because they do not tell the full story, or they do not come from a place that is methodologically sound. So what research and science do is challenge and push those insights and push those ideas and push that truth and try and figure out if that truth is correct. Nowhere more present in modern life is the experience of Indigenous peoples. It's like the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We are reevaluating our history and the truth that we have been told for generations, and we're finding out that a lot of it wasn't true to begin with. All right, so that will wrap it up for this episode. This has been Let's Talk About. I've been Jason. You've been the audience. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, keep that dial to 101.5. You've got good songs, good music coming right up after this show, so yeah, keep it on 101.5. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for listening. And as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay safe, everybody.